try not to be silly. I'm sorry. That's just me. But I've been wrestling with this message for a couple weeks now, trying to figure out, okay, God, what direction do you want to go with this? And going through some insecurities, you know, like, why am I even up here? Like, I don't even know. I don't understand. Like, I'm literally crying out to the Lord and asking him, you know, what do you want to say to everyone? What message are you speaking right now? And as I was crying out to the Lord, he was just reminding me, because one of the questions that I've always had is, God, what am I called to do? What is my purpose here on this earth? And he answered it when he asked me to, when he reminded me of when I was growing up. And he was like, well, tell your story. And I was like, well, it's kind of boring, I guess, you know. I'm like, my story? But when I began to run through my story, remember a lot of the things, he began to show me, he began to open up the answer to me of what I'm called to do and who I'm called to be. Like, I am literally, like, the person that sometimes pastors talk to, like, oh, I've been saved since I was 2, or I've been saved since I was 5, and literally that's me. Like, God and I go way back, and that's because I grew up in a Christian home. My mom got saved when, I think I was 2 or 3 after her and my dad split up, and so I just kind of grew up like that, just knowing God. And I remember 5 years old, I discovered I could sing. My mom said it was younger, that I was singing since I could talk, but 5 years old is what I remember vividly. I would go in kindergarten, there was this swing set, and I love to swing. I still do. If I see a swing, I'm going to go to it, and I'm going to go swing. But it was like this swing that it was a man, and it had its arms out like this, and it had a swing on each side. And every time one opened up, I'd ran to it. And I would just get on that swing, and I would start swinging. And my mom was a part of a choir, and so I knew the songs that they sang, and so I just began singing. You know, I didn't care who was around me. I just started singing, and every time I go higher, I'd feel like if only I could touch the sky, I could touch heaven. And I would just sing glory to God in the highest, peace to his people on earth. And I would just continue to sing that. And I just remember just feeling his presence. At 5 years old, you can't tell me a child can't feel the presence of God. Because I experienced the presence of God at such a young age. And I could feel him, and I could just picture him, the sky opening up, and him and all his angels just singing with me. And I just remember feeling so peaceful and so loved that singing became my outlet. And, you know, my mom, she would buy me tapes, and I listened to KSLR. If you remember KSLR, it was the AM radio, Christian radio. I was an interesting child. I didn't listen to secular music. I listened to Christian music, and I used to think secular music was of the devil. That was my thinking, okay? Like Tina Turner, Michael Jackson. But I like those guys. But, and so I would just go in my room and put on my tapes, my little tapes. I had a little tape cassette player, and I would just start singing the songs. You know, my mom bought me little kids' tapes. Bullfrogs and butterflies, but been born again. That was like my favorite tape ever. But I got older, and I, you know, my taste became more mature, and I would just sing every single day. It didn't matter what was going on in my life. That's what I would do. You know, I didn't have the easiest childhood growing up. I had a lot of issues. you know, with other kids, and I was always made fun of and teased, and, you know, and, but singing was my way into the singing, the secret place. Even though I didn't know what I was doing, I didn't know I was worshiping, I didn't know, I didn't have a word for it. I just knew that when I sang, I just felt his presence. I knew he was there. And so that was my outlet, no matter what was going on around me. And so I didn't tell anybody I could sing. No one knew. It was all done behind closed doors. And then I got the courage one day to reach out to one of the worship leaders in our youth. And I said, you know, I like to sing. And she was like, okay, well, we'll start you, you know, I'll get you up there. And I've got this little group that you can sing with. And there's just like four of us. We sang a special for youth. I only sang for youth. I didn't like singing for the adults. And I just remember standing there, and I had the worst stage fright ever. So being up here is like really, but I just remember I would stand there and I had my hair in my face, and I'm like, oh my God, don't throw up. Please don't throw up. And then finally I sang my part, and, you know, and the rest is history. You know, I just started singing. And also, he reminded me that I used to preach to myself in front of the mirror. And I'm like, really, God? I didn't want to be a preacher. I don't want to be a teacher. I don't want to do that. I just want to sing. That's it. And but I used to. I used to get in front of the mirror and preach to myself and sing to myself. And, you know, so coming up here, it was like, last year I started teaching, and it reminded me all over again of that time where I was learning how to sing in front of people, and it was the scariest thing ever. So the Lord, he's just reminding me of all of these things, and it's like, well, now do you know the answer? Do you know what you're called to do now? And I was like, I guess so. Like, should I admit it? You know, I was, you know, there's one verse in the Bible that it's Matthew 22:14, and it talks about all are called, but few are chosen. And that scripture has eluded me for quite some time. Like, God, what do you mean all are called, but few are chosen? I don't understand that. Do you mean you called everybody, but only you and only you and only you are chosen? That's it. But he said to me, no, that's not what I mean. That's not what I mean at all. And when you read Matthew 22, as he talks about, he's talking to the church leaders. And he's giving his parables. And the scripture that it's found is, he's talking about the parable of the wedding banquet. And he goes on to tell, you know, these leaders that, you know, the king, he has sent out an invitation. You know, he sent out the invitation three times. Twice it was rejected. And these are two people like us. People who could have a vested interest in what's happening, but they just don't have the time. It's either not good enough for them, or they just, I don't know, maybe jealousy crept in or something. But then he goes out and gets the people who are willing to come and feast. The banqueting table is the reward. And he said to me, he said, yes, I've called everyone. I've invited everyone. But only a few have chosen to come. See, Peter, First Peter, and this is why I say we are all chosen. Because in 1 Peter 2:9-10, it says, but you are the ones chosen by God, chosen for the high calling of priestly work, chosen to be a holy people, God's instruments to do his work and speak out for him, to tell others of the night and day difference he made for you, from nothing to something, from rejected to accepted. So we're all chosen, but it's up to us to choose whether we're going to pick up those things that he has called us to do, the gifts and the callings. We are all invited to participate in what God is doing, to serve him in some capacity, but there are some who will reject or choose not to do what they are called to do based on how much sacrifice or work it will take, or even will choose to use their gifts for other purposes not attributed to the kingdom. Everyone is on the same playing field. Everyone has been given the grace and ability to do that which God has called him. We are all part of the puzzle. I attribute to the kingdom of heaven is like this big puzzle piece, this big puzzle. And we are each a piece of that puzzle. There's not one piece of that puzzle that is bigger than the other. They're all the same size. They just look different and they serve a different purpose. They're part of the different, they're each a part of the picture of the grand scheme of things. Each one is just as important or significant as all the others. So how we spend this time on earth will determine how we spend eternity, not where we live, but because that's locked in through our salvation, but it will determine what our reward will be. You know, I think a lot of times we get caught up in the bigger things. We think that, if I'm not on a pulpit, or if I'm not singing these amazing songs, or then I'm not doing what God has called me to do. It's not about this. It's about what's out there. It's about living your life to please God. You know, I think we're all given gifts and talents, abilities, and God expects us to use those things, not just sit on them. I remember there was a time where I just stopped singing. I didn't want to do it anymore. And I ran into my old youth pastor, who was very influential in my life. And he asked me, he said, "Are you singing?" And I said, "No." And he's like, "Why not?" And I'm like, "I don't know." He's like, "You better start singing. You don't want to sit on your gift." And I was like, "Yes, sir." I hadn't seen him in a long time. He was going to another church. But it was like the little kick in the butt that I needed to realize what I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I need to be using my gift. Like, I wasn't using it at all. I wasn't singing at all, not even in my time with the Lord. And that really was like, because he was really influential. He really encouraged me to get up there and do my best and use my gift. And the fact that I wasn't using it, it felt like I had disappointed him in some way. And so that was the motivation that I needed to kind of start thinking about it again. And this was years ago. It was after Josh and I got married. We weren't really involved in church. We were actually looking for a house to be planted in. And I even said, we ended up going to a church, and I even said to the pastor, I was like, "God's going to have to put a fire under my butt to get me up there again, because I'm just not going to do it. I'll sing behind closed doors, that's fine, but I'm just not going to get up in front of people." And then one day, I'm singing, I'm worshiping, you know, doing my thing out in the audience, I was fine, and he calls me up on stage to sing. And I was just like, "Okay, I guess that was the fire I needed to get under my butt to get me up there." And then he just started putting it inside of me again, that desire, that fire that I once had to worship him again. And he brought me, you know, prophetic worship. I learned what prophetic worship is. I was like, "Oh my gosh, this is like the most amazing." Like, when I first heard it, when I first found out what it was, I was like, this is what I want to do. just to sing what God is saying. And so I just started cultivating that in my quiet time. You know, you find out what you're called to do in the secret place. You don't find out what you're called to do in the public square. It's when you take the time and see, I didn't know what I was doing when I was 5 years old, when I was 8 years old. I didn't know I was going into a secret place. It felt like a hideout, a hideaway, that I was safe and sound and loved, and I could worship. I would have amazing moments in my time, in my alone time with the Lord. I didn't have a name for it. I just knew what I felt. And it was something, it was like a high, and it was something I had to do every single day. And I drove my family crazy. But I just had to. And that's where he's cultivating. And a lot of times you don't realize that you have the ability to do something until you got to do it. But all this time, every time you get into that secret place, every time you get into his presence, he's depositing things in you. He is training you. He is giving you the ability to do and to go. I didn't know. I still struggle with speaking. It's not my strong. But neither was singing in front of people. But the more I did it, the better I got, and the less I wanted to throw up. And I keep telling myself, the more I do it, the better I'll get. I know it. Because it's happened before. It's not easy. You know? I used to think Marty hated me. He's like, you're teaching this week. And I'll be like, why? What did I do to you? I'd be like, he hates me, doesn't he? He really hates me. I did something wrong. Why is he torturing me like this? But I know it's for my good. This, you know, before I sought it out, I was like, okay, I'm ready to take that step. But this time it was like, there you go. You're going to do it, whether you want to or not. But it gives us the ability, whether we know we have it or not. He gives us the anointing. He gives us a voice. We all have a voice. We all have a testimony. Our voice is our testimony. You will never value what you don't fight for. What you were called to do is going to require a fight. It's not going to be easy. You're going to have to go through some things, battle through some things. But it's all for our good. It's all to strengthen that which is in us. It's all to make us a better person, build our character, because we need character. Because that's the thing that's going to sustain us. You know, all those years, you know, for all I know, before I stopped singing, because I was a worship leader in the youth, and I just was like, for some reason, I don't want to have anything to do with it. And that's when the music stopped. But the Lord was so gracious to me. He let me have that time to just kind of breathe. But then it was like, okay, now it's time. You need to get in line. Because the time is short. You need to get into position. You need to start doing what I've asked you to do, what I've called you to do. But it comes with a fight. I remember one of my dreams was to become a mom. Besides a singer, I wanted to be a mom. And I used to, like, you know, have conversations with the Lord, like, I want to record an album, and I want to travel, and I want to do all this, but then, wait, I want to get married, and I want to have kids. How is that going to work out? But I really wanted to become a mom. And 3 years after we got married, I got pregnant with Aiden, and I was so excited, and I was so expectant, and when I was about to give birth to him, I got really swollen, and just my blood pressure started going up really high, and my doctor was like, okay, it's time to induce. And so I had already started labor naturally, and got into the hospital, and you know, things were going really great until it was time. And for some reason, Aiden just wouldn't drop. And so I had to go into an emergency C-section. And this was my dream, to be able to experience the birth of this child. And I went into the OR, and they laid me on this bed, and I remember just being really scared, not knowing what to expect. And I remember just laying there and really drugged up and just fighting. I was fighting. I remember a voice saying, if you close your eyes, you're not going to wake up. And I was laying there and I was like, I have to stay awake. I have to stay awake because I've got to hear him cry. I've got to see this baby born. I got to hear his voice. And then I heard his voice, and it was like I was awake. All of a sudden, I was just awake, tired, but awake. But I had to fight. I had to fight to stay awake in order to hear his voice, to see this dream that I had be birthed. And in that hospital room, the Lord just spoke to me after, because I would send him off to the nurses, and I couldn't sleep, and I was just praying, and every time I hear the nurse walk by, I would think, is that him? Is that Aiden? Is he coming? And the Lord spoke to me right then and there. He said, the love that you feel, the anticipation, the expectancy that you're feeling right now is exactly how I feel about you. Every time I am expecting you to come to me, because I have things to tell you. The love. I have so much love to give to you. It was a fight. We have to fight for our dreams. We have to fight for the things that God has called us to. Not one of our callings, that one of our purposes is insignificant. It's important, each one of us. And we must choose to pick up that which he has given us. My gift isn't greater than your gift, and your gift isn't greater than mine. It's just as important. It's just as valuable to God. And we're all going to give an account. We're all going to be judged by what we did and didn't do. I have scriptures. It's so serious in here. I'm like, Josh, can you get up there? Serious. I'm not kidding. Finally, you laugh. Well, where's 1 Corinthians? Okay, I have scripture. Are y'all awake? I'm not putting you to sleep, am I? 1 Corinthians 3, 5 through 15. And Paul is talking on the divisions in the church. And he's saying, what, after all, is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe. As the Lord has assigned to each his task, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything but only God. Who makes things grow? The man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his own labor. We are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. By the grace God has given me, I laid the foundation as an expert builder. And someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. That's some heavy stuff right there. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. That's someone that chose not to do what they were called to do, or only did it for their own personal gain, their own motives. You know, I think about Billy Graham. And the person, and I'm like, okay, Billy Graham is this huge person, but who's the one that brought him to the Lord? This person could have, Billy Graham could have been this person's one person. He probably, I don't know, I didn't research or anything, but he could have just, okay, God said to go talk to this boy, this young man, and he did it. He was obedient. And this one man, this Billy Graham, has impacted millions for the kingdom, has brought millions into the kingdom of God. But this one man who chose to be obedient, to speak to him, is going to reap the reward. And this could have been the only person he ever talked to. But he made himself available. And he multiplied himself. He planted a seed, and that seed just multiplied. So we should never look at the opportunities that we're given as something that's just minor, insignificant. It doesn't matter. You could be working in children's ministry. You could be doing hospitality or greeting or just doing something. And you're going to receive a reward if you impact people's lives. Every person that walks through, you make a connection. It's an opportunity. We can't look at every opportunity as something that's just finite in God's eyes. He's going to look, did you do what I asked you to do? Did you fight for what I told you to fight for? Just because you may not be on a pulpit or talking to thousands of people doesn't mean you're not going to touch thousands of people. The one person you do touch, that you do impact and you do pour into, may be the person that is going to impact other lives, and you're going to receive that reward. It's like you go to God and he says, He opens your books and he tells you, this is what he said. He said, I hope it's in the right, 1 Corinthians, Matthew 25. That's where it's at. I got my little teen study Bible. It's a very special Bible to me. But Jesus is talking here. He's Matthew 25:31-40. And it's the sheep and the goats. And he said, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on the right and the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on the right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of this world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothed you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. That tells me that even the minor things, the things that don't get credit, that aren't seen by everybody, those are the things he's going to look at. Every person that you said hi to, that you said an encouraging word, that you sowed a seed into, he looks at that more than did you fill stadiums? Did you write the best songs that everybody likes to sing? He's not going to care about that. That's not what matters. What matters is the day-to-day things. You know, sometimes I struggle. Just being a mom, it can be really stressful. And, you know, and that's one of my callings. It's something that I've fought for. Sometimes I take it for granted. And I think, well, is this all there is? Just being a mom, telling my kids to clean their rooms and do their schoolwork. But my kids are my ministry. They are the ones that I pour into. I may not get out there. You know, and sometimes I'd feel guilty, like, oh, I'm not doing enough for the kingdom. I'm not going out there and witnessing and bringing people into the kingdom. But that's just putting too much pressure on myself. Like, that's what you got to do. Just completely ignoring the fact that I've got these two lives that have been entrusted to me. They are my ministry. I have a foundation to build within them. I have to feed them and clothe them and take care of them and kiss their boo-boos and you know, pray over them and speak into their lives, prophesy into their lives that they're going to move mountains, that they're going to shake nations, and they're going to prophesy and they're going to evangelize. Who knows? If I never speak to a single person about God outside of my home, my children could be the ones to do it. But I will receive the blessing because I chose to plant the seeds. I chose to tell them about Christ, to give them the gift that I was given, to feed them the spiritual food, to teach them how to pray, to teach them how to prophesy. I will receive every person that they make contact with as they get older. That will be accounted to me and to them because I multiplied myself and they multiplied. That's the purpose. That's the whole thing about the kingdom. Is we take ourselves and we multiply. We multiply who we are. When we spend time in the secret place, the grace that is given to us in that time is multiplied so that we can multiply. We are all part of this big puzzle, and every piece is important. Without that piece, the picture's incomplete. I want to encourage you guys. If you're, you know, you go out there and you work and you labor and you're doing what you think you're supposed to be doing. Whatever God has placed inside of you, whatever you're doing, that's what He has called you to do. And you need to do it as though as unto the Lord. Everything we do is unto the Lord. Nothing. And another thing is we need to get planted in the house of the Lord. If you want to be somebody in the kingdom, or you want to, you know, do great things, or you have dreams and you see yourself preaching and teaching or whatever it is that God has placed inside of you, it's so important to get yourself planted and to serve. I've never been a part of a church I did not serve in. We can't just be bystanders. The house is where it starts. Because that's where you get equipped to go forth. That's where you learn how to love people. Because church people can be sometimes hard to love. That's how we learn. Helping where we need to help, where there's a need, whether it's the children's ministry or hospitality or greeters or outreach. There's a place for each and every one of us, but we just have to pick up. Well, I'm not called to children's ministry. I'm not called to hospitality. Well, you never know the kind of opportunity that might come in if you just humble yourself to do it. Every place you meet, contacts, people that come your way is an opportunity to do something greater. Like, Sylvia, I keep looking at you. I'm like, I said to you, you are chosen. You are chosen. Be encouraged that what you're doing every day is being accounted for. Everything you do for this house is being accounted for. It doesn't go unnoticed. God sees it. I think we all see it. And it will be accounted. It will be credited. Everything we're doing that we do unto the Lord is being credited to us. And we have to be kingdom minded. We have to be eternally minded, not momentarily. It's not about right now. It's about the future. We need to think about the future. How am I going to live in eternity? Is dependent on my choices in the now, in the today. I want to rule and reign with God. I want to be there. I don't know what job he'll have me do, but I want to do it. But I got to do what I'm called to do right now. I got to take the responsibility. I got to use the gifts. I can't sit on them. We can't sit on our gifting. We have to pick it up. We can't just think, oh, somebody else is going to do it. Somebody else will pick it up. You know, like when I'm at home, somebody magically puts toys on the stairs. Every corner of my house has got Molly's toys everywhere. Like she's made claim, and if she brings them downstairs, somebody will put them on the stairs. I don't know who it is. Maybe it's Josh or maybe my mother-in-law. I don't know. But every time I look at it, I'm like, do I pick it up or put it away? Or somebody else will get it. And then I just keep, they're still there. Until I'm like, okay, I'll get it. I'll put it up myself. But that's how we are sometimes. Like, we just look at something. We look at our gifting, our talent, and we're just like, maybe later. Maybe somebody else will do it. Maybe I won't have to do it. But then it's still there. Your gifts are still there. And they're still waiting. Pick me up. I'm ready to be used. But we have to be willing. We have to choose. And that's what I believe he's saying. All are called, but few are chosen. All are called, but only a few have chosen to do what they are called to do. I don't know about you, but I want to do what I'm called to do. I can't ignore it. I can't sit on it. I have to do it. Whatever that looks like. You have to do what you're called to do. Amen. Like, I had another scripture. I'm wondering if I should read it or not. What Paul says. He says, yet when I preach the gospel, I cannot boast, for I am compelled to preach. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. If I preach voluntarily, I have a reward. If not voluntarily, I am simply discharging the trust committed to me. What then is my reward? Just this, that in preaching the gospel, I may offer it free of charge, and so not make use of my rights in preaching it. And then that's found in 9:16 through 18. And then 24 through 27 says, do you not know that in the race all runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the game goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave so that after I preach to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. We have to run the race. Can't give up. We can't look at our what God has called us to do as something that's just insignificant. Because we're all special. We're all important. And I don't want to see any of us not fulfilling the call that he has called us to. I want us to all go out there and be the best person, people we can be. Because it's all about him. It's all about the kingdom. It's all about multiplying ourselves. Making use of ourselves. Not looking down on anyone else. Not saying, oh, you're better than me or I'm better than you. Because that's not the way it should be. We're getting jealous because we see somebody else getting promoted when we think we should be the ones to be promoted. Well, maybe that's not the race you're supposed to be running. You have to figure out what race that you are to run and stay in your lane. Because it's all about eternity. It's all about how you're going to live in eternity. Amen. I think I'm done. I hope I didn't bore you too much. I try.
Amen. Amen. Great job with your team study Bible.
Yes,
I love it. As elders come in with tithes and offering envelopes, I want to share something with you that when she was speaking this, and I know you know the story, but I want to just share it with you real quick, and then I promise to get you out of here real quick in a hurry. Amen? Turn with me to 1 Samuel 16, please. 1 Samuel 16 and verse 9. Elders, go ahead and pass out the envelopes for your tithes and offering. If you need to give via credit card, the PayPal's in the back. Jeremiah standing up back there, he can take that for you. But right now I want to share this with you. As she was speaking, this came to mind. It was concerning young David. We all know who David is. But we're in 1 Samuel 16. 1 Samuel 16. Go to verse 9. When you're there, say amen. Then Jesse made Shammah to pass by, and he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. Again, Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord hath not chosen these. And Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him. For Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him. You may be just doing something small and you feel like it's insignificant or that no one's paying attention. But Samuel was sent to anoint the next king. What was found in this particular scripture is that David was found doing and the others were sitting waiting. Listen. He was with the sheep doing, but the others were there waiting to be anointed. So Samuel said, go and get him, the one that was found doing. If you're sitting on your gift and not utilizing your gift now, what opportunity has passed you by? See, he was found doing. He was out there with the sheep. But see, when Samuel got there, when the prophet comes into your house and tells you, give me all your sons, you do what the prophet says. You understand? Now, they didn't bring in David. How come Jesse didn't bring David? Could that be because there may be that there was a son that was born out of wedlock that he did not want to share with others, his indiscretion, that may have been discounted, disqualified, and said, this isn't the one. But the one that felt that was disqualified and felt that there was never going to amount to anything is the one that God had chose. Sometimes we sit on our gifts and our callings based upon what our issues in our life dictate to us that says that we can't do. But he was found doing it. that the prophet said, I'll wait until you bring him to me. He was with the sheep. He was tending sheep. And we think just tending sheep is, well, it's kind of dirty. If you ever really get around sheep, they stink. They stink. They're dirty. They're nasty. They got fleas and they got ticks. Look at your neighbor and say, no, never mind. Look at your neighbor and say, you're dirty. Look, come on, you know you think it. Just say it now. You're dirty. But it's all right. God looks in the inward of a man, not on the outward. But then I find it very interesting that now that he brings David in, that in the Bible it says that he described him. Look at this. Verse 12. He says, and he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. He was handsome. He was handsome. But everything else that Samuel was doing, he was looking at the person that he would think would be the next king. And God said, I didn't choose him. I didn't choose him. Not that one. The one I have chosen, you will know. So now he comes in, and now the scripture says he begins to describe how he is. You may be out there full of mess. You may be out there in your life stinking in your thinking. You may have some ticks that are sucking the life right out of you in your life. But there's some things that God is going to look past and say, you're the one that I've chosen. He describes him and how he is. He describes him in his future tense, in his prophetic future. He looks at him and says, this is the one that I've called to be king. You understand? Then he comes in. He stands up. He gets the horn of oil. He put it on his little finger and then he went like this. Right? No, he poured that whole thing. He grabbed that oil. I know this isn't oil, it's a basket. Excuse me. Can you imagine what David was thinking? I didn't have no time to go shower. I didn't have no time to get cleaned up. I'm still messy. I'm still stinking. And you're going to put something so sacred on me that I didn't have an opportunity to change. See, it doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter what you've been through. It doesn't matter where you've been. If God has chosen you based upon what he's called you to do, he's going to bring you amongst your brethren and say, you're the one that I've chosen. And he's about to pour that oil all over you. And when he pours it all over you, it's going to bring some jealousy your way. Have you ever felt that because of the oil that's on your life, that has caused so much jealousy to come your way? The oil represents the anointing of God. And when that anointing is on you, there's nothing you can do. It's just going to bring all kinds of things against you that you didn't ask for. You were minding your own business, and then you were called in by the prophet to be anointed. You didn't ask for it. You were just tending sheep. Yeah. You feel him? You feel him? You've been overlooked. But he hasn't forgotten you. He hasn't forgotten you. He knows that you're called. He knows that he's anointed you. But you haven't been overlooked. But you've been found doing. See, he's calling you. He's beckoning you to come. He's got something very special for you, beloved. Very special. All the hardships that you go through in your relationships, it's because the oil that's on your life. You're a teacher, and you're to teach. But don't quite understand what you're to do, how to do it, where to do it. God says, I'm calling you into a place. And I'm calling you out so that you can do what you're supposed to do. You will begin to rear up children in the way they should go. You will speak to people and encourage people. You're an encourager. Well, who's encouraging you? This season in my life, I need someone to encourage me. God is calling you up out of the field into the house so that he can fill you with his anointing oil, so that you can go and do and bring deliverance. The ministry that's inside of you to teach is also a deliverance ministry that you will walk in. I bless you from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. I speak the very blessing of God into your life. Natalie, put your hand right upon her shoulder, please. Father, I just thank you for her. I thank you for such a time as this that you called her into your very presence, God, to do what you ordained for her to do. I thank you that the message has penetrated her soul, that she'll be doing what you've called her to do. Lord, that in everything that she does, God, she will bring glory unto you. That as she even speaks and teaches, God, she will release your glory. Father, I thank you right now in Jesus' name. Bless her from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet. Let the increase come in Jesus' mighty name. Now, when the anointing oil of God comes upon you, it's going to drive people insane all around you. They're going to look at you and not understand why you were chosen and not them. Get found doing what you're supposed to do. He was found doing the sheep. He's with the sheep and brought in. Have you ever felt like you've been left out? You've been left out, overlooked, but God calls him in. And then the oil is pouring. And when the oil is pouring, it is just pouring and pouring. It made a mess in the house. Oil's hard to get out. See, when I started reading this, I said, Lord, not only did you come into Jesse's house and begin to tell him that your sons, to whom you thought would be selected, are not the ones, but the one that God selected is the one that you didn't select. And I'm about to mess up your house. You know, someone, God comes in and starts pouring his presence and his oil, it messes up the house. Doesn't it mess up the house? To the point now, Saul says, send me someone that is skilled in playing an instrument. Guess who they call? David. It didn't say that David was out there playing the harp. It said he was out there tending sheep. You see, some of the things inside of you that you're doing and that you're messing around with is about to be called later on. And then when he calls upon you, it's to help someone be delivered. To bring about freedom. Even though Saul lost his position. See, God is getting ready to pour out his oil on those of you that have been sitting, found doing what you're supposed to do. It hasn't been easy. But what he's going to do, he's going to pour it. He's going to mess up the house. Why is he going to mess up the house? Because where that oil was poured, it became so holy. Because it was in preparation for David to go back every single day to look back where he was anointed king, because he didn't become king right away. As soon as he came back home, he would look. You anointed me king in this spot in my home, standing right here in the living room. You anointed me king. I'm not king yet, but I know that my future, what holds for me is to become king, to be the next king of Israel. I don't know when it's going to be. I don't know how it's going to be, but I could look back at what you did when you did it and say, this is that spot that you've anointed me to be king. And I'm going to continue to speak to myself and my circumstances to say, at this spot, at this time, in this hour, you anointed me to be king. It don't look like it now, but it will be. And there will be a time. So they call for him to go play for Saul. So he comes up and he starts playing for Saul on another gift that he has. He begins to strum. He begins to play. And the evil spirits leave. Isn't it something? When you can be out there with the sheep, just doing what you were told by your daddy to do, that your whole life now begins to change at that moment that you were doing what God called you to do at that moment. It ain't easy. It's not what we would have chose, but it's what we were doing. How many of us do sit on our gifts and wonder, what am I supposed to be doing? What is my purpose? What is my call? Many go to the grave, never finding out what they're supposed to do. Don't take it with you. Release it. Release it in the atmosphere. For you are the kingdom. You may get people irritated. You may get them to the point where they're so mad at you for just being you. I ain't done nothing yet. I'm a nobody now. But someday I'm going to look back and say, I remember that spot right there in my living room when the oil was poured. I know that at that moment God called me. He appointed me. And I stood up before my brethren, before my daddy. And God Almighty spoke and said I would be the next king of Israel. What did he do next? He went back to tending sheep. For a season, God will come in and begin to speak to you and tell you what you're to do, what you're going to become. Now go back to doing what you were doing. Because in a minute, everything that you learned being out there tending sheep, doing the gift that you were doing, you're going to use it later to find favor before man. People won't keep coming against you. Is it, if they don't come against you, and if they don't press your buttons, and if they don't get under your skin, the real you ain't going to come out. You're there to irritate the devils. That's what you're to do. You're there to get them so riled up and get them out of the place. Now what has happened is you begin to look around thinking you're denying who you really are. Your identity is wrapped in God, not in people. Beloved, I encourage you to stand. Boldly stand before many and declare the goodness of God. The deliverance will come. Deliver some jokers out of your life that need to be moved. But if they keep coming, if you guys ever experience the people coming into your life, they keep pressing those buttons. It's because God is allowing them to come. He didn't send them, but they're allowed to come. Caleb, get on those drums, sir. We can't let what's been going on in our life take away from us our joy, our purpose, and our mandate. Things are about to change. The wind is blowing. It's blowing. Keep seeing your son with the big old smile, Natalie. Big old smile. And I know he's big now. Big old dude. You know the little one that we used to see coming running around? Big dude. Now you're looking up. He's an influence. And that gift that's on him is to rally people around him. It's leadership. But as a leader, sometimes we get led the wrong direction. Don't worry, Mama. Abba has them in his hand. There'll be some struggles at times, but Abba has them. You be at peace, beloved. You be at peace. There's a peace also that is beginning to stir even the more in your husband. The wind that has been blowing to cause all this kind of agitation is about to be steady. The boat that had been rocking is about to come to rest. I sense by the very Spirit of God that He is now arresting them by the Spirit. There is such a love that is permeating. Beloved, let me encourage you. Your tears and your sleepless nights have not been in vain. You will see that the hand of God is bringing him to his knees to say yes, but more importantly, to do what he has called to do. That man is an evangelist for the Lord and doesn't even know it. He will talk to people about some good things, but now out of his mouth can come the very honey of the word of God and be turning his heart back to God. He will be the lifesaver for many. And your son, Elijah, right? Elijah. I haven't seen you in a minute, girl, but I'm seeing all of it. Demonstration of who God is in his life. He's prophesying to you. He's telling you what is going to happen, what is going to take place, what to look forward to, and what not to do. Wisdom will follow him so strong that it will help him in his decisions. Be at peace. So much is coming in your direction. It's not in vain. It's not in vain. I've been away. No, you haven't been away. You've been in his presence. Bless you. The oil is rising. It's rising in our lives. To get us so far deeper into his presence that all we can do is say, Abba, I want to be right here. And everything else is going to manifest his glory because we want to be at his feet. We want to be in his presence. Why? Because that is our gift, is to worship him. Spirit and in truth. Our life shall be a form of worship. That all we ever do is be able to worship him, and people can see our lifestyle matches what we say, what we do, and who we are in his presence. The oil of God is being poured out upon the bride of Christ. We're going to experience so many great things. Persecution may come, but the oil allows it to just slip right off of us. The gift of God is what's making room for you. Use it. Don't sit on it. If you feel that you have the gift of healing, start praying for people. Start praying for people. You don't wait. It'll begin to stir up inside him. You just start praying for people. And as you release healing, you'll see healing take place. When you begin to discern a demon spirit, you begin to pray in the spirit. You begin to pray that they will surrender unto you and that you will cast that demon out. It is that time that the body of Christ begins to move with that anointing and that demonstration of his glory everywhere we go. If they come to your house and they knock on the door and it's another religion trying to spread their gospel, touch them and release the kingdom of heaven. They'll feel something different. They'll know that something's different about you. Every time there's a knock at the door and it's one of those carrying one of those pamphlets, my kids already know. They go, Dad, come on in. You want to come in? You don't want to come in? I'll come outside. I don't challenge. I don't fight with the word. I just listen. God bless you. Because of what you believe in, you're doing something that more Christians should be doing. But they're not. God bless you for what you're doing. Can I pray for you? No, but we'll pray for you. Well, if you're going to pray for me, I'm going to pray for you. That's only fair, right? Okay. So they pray. Hallelujah. Thank you. Can I pray for you now? Ma'am, your daughter has a gift of singing. You don't even know it. How did you know that? I didn't. God knows. Why? Because God is revealing all things now for the people and what they're called to do now, not later. Now. You're scared to sing, aren't you? She goes, yes, I'm very nervous to sing, but I love to sing. And the mom's looking at her daughter like, what? I didn't know. I had this gentleman, you know, all these roofers that are going out knocking on your doors because all the storms. This roofer came, knocked on the door. He said, did you get someone to look at your roof? I said, no, but whatever you're doing right now in this company that you just been with for a short time, don't leave because you're about to get blessed. You're on the precipice of getting your breakthrough right now. Yeah, and you can go home and tell your wife. Thank you for praying. Tell them the truth, baby. I said, I know what I'm telling you, what's about to happen. Why? Because the kingdom of heaven resides inside of us, and we've got to release it to everyone we come in contact with. If the gift of prophecy is your gift, release it. If it's healing, release it. But I have a song. I got to wait till I get to church to sing. Sing! Then David, let me forget about you. Then David, after doing everything that he did while out there in the field, Daddy says, go take the sandwich and cheese over to your brothers in the battle line. I'll go take my basket of bread and cheese, gets to the front line, and he hears this giant. Y'all know the story of David and Goliath. I don't have to tell you. But when you're found doing what God has called you to do early on, and it's not insignificant in God's eyes, he's watching you to see what you're going to do. Then he says, he gets him to the front of the line to say, even though they overlooked you, even though they didn't want to call upon you, I called you each time to do my bidding. And when you get to the front, you're going to take this giant out. Hold up now. Holy Ghost, start moving real loud. See, Sylvia, the giants that have been opposing your God, their heads are about to be cut off. See, deliverance is coming in your area, and in your life, in your lineage, and for your children. That the wind is blowing in your direction, and the wind, watch this, God is riding on the wings of the angels, and the wind is beginning to carry deliverance for your son. There are some things that are about to happen where it looks like it's going to be turbulent, but it's about to blow some things in a different direction. God says to lift up your sails because the wind is about to blow you in a different direction. A whole different direction. Listen to me. A whole different direction he's going to blow you in. Whole different direction. And you think that what you were doing was the right thing, but God's going to show you God's thing. There's some good things about to happen in the challenging times that are going on. I talk about in Exodus when the Israelites were coming out of Egypt and out of the wilderness, that Pharaoh and his army was chasing them. God told him, lift up your hands. He lifted up his hand, and Moses began to lift up his hand. But then the wind blew all night. It didn't happen immediately. You've had some long night seasons. But the gift that God gave Moses was to be obedient. Even though he didn't get into the promised land because of disobedience, the gift that he gave him was to be obedient. And he used what he had. A stick. It must have been one beautiful stick, huh? So powerful. God will use whatever he puts in your hands. And it's that gift. Don't sit on it. And don't wait. Use it. Because he's getting ready to pour out even more. Amen. Stand to your feet if you would, please. All right. I know we have our tithes and offering. I know you have them ready in your hands. Lift them up before the Lord if you have them with you. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, we just thank you for the seed that is crossing over the threshold, Father, that is coming into the very altar of your presence. And I thank you that this seed, oh God, will be the seeding seed back into their life. And I thank you that this seed, Lord, will be the seed that will begin to germinate quickly, so it'll produce its harvest quickly. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing in their life. And I thank you that if they bring their tithes into the storehouse, Lord, that you will rebuke the devourer for their sake. You will throw open the windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing there's not enough room to contain it. But more importantly, God, you watch your seed. And I thank you for it. Now, God, I just thank you right now for the divine healing that has gone forth right now into this atmosphere, with the pure manifestation of healing in their body, their mind. Lord, I thank you that even their hearts are being healed. Someone's right foot has been tingling. It loses circulation at times. It swells. I thank you for that healing right now in Jesus' mighty name. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I speak a blessing over their life. And I thank you for the manifestation of your glory in their life. That they release the kingdom of God wherever they go. That they're obedient to you, God. Obedient to the prompting of the Holy Spirit, that they'll begin to do without fear. I bind fear right now in the name of Jesus. I think there'll be no fear, but the boldness of God to go forth. To speak your word. To declare your goodness, your love, and your grace. To extend mercy where mercy is needed. That forgiveness will go forth where unforgiveness will have no foothold. Lord, I just thank you for it right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sense some pain in my shoulder, between the lower base of my neck, between the two shoulder blades. I've been feeling this for most of the day. I know it's not me. It's a word of knowledge for someone that is in here. If that is you, just lift up your hands and receive your healing. Father, I thank you right now. I thank you for the release of your oil in this atmosphere. I thank you that we're getting ready to embark on the new Jewish year. 5777. Grace, fruitfulness in its finality. I believe that the fivefold ministry, God, is something that is about to be witnessed with such fruitfulness of the power of God and the glory of God in this new season, that we can look back and taste and see how good you were and how good you are. That our future that is ahead of us is brighter and better than we've ever experienced. Even in the dark times, God, our light shall shine bright. So we thank you for it right now in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children said amen. Before you come up and release your seed,